Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. We do have a football game tonight. Titans on the road in Miami on Monday Night Football. We'll get into that. We'll touch on that. But unfortunately, today, we start today's show with a heavy heart for two reasons. One, devastating storms in Hendersonville and Clarksville and some of our surrounding areas. People lost their homes, people lost their livelihoods, people lost their lives. And unfortunately, this city is not new to tragedy and disaster. But every time tragedy or disaster strikes, this city comes together and builds back stronger as a community. And I know this will be no different. The second reason why we start today's show with a heavy heart is because this city lost a great man. A great Titan. This show lost a great friend in Frank Wycheck, who lost his life this past weekend at his home in Chattanooga at the age of 52. Far, far too young. I know that we'll remember him for the Music City Miracle being a foundational piece, a focal point of those late 90s, early 2000s Titans teams. D-Mace, you played with Frank Wycheck. Willie, you were on the radio with Frank Wycheck. Just kind of your initial reactions, emotions to hearing the news of Frank Wycheck's passing.
It was a, a friend of mine ended up calling me Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, and it was just like a gut punch. You know, it was, hearing it, because we all are busy with our lives and everything. And you never want to think, and the last thing that goes to your mind is, someone that you actually spent time with, you sort of grew up in a sense, your adulthood with for a portion. You never think about them, passing away. You never want that to enter your mind, because one, you figure we're all so young, and you think about them or the guys, like it's sort of that warrior's mentality, like nothing can hurt us, like, and you never think about your mortality in a sense. You don't. And to hear that, it was just a gut punch. It was nothing I could say, when it was told to me. And at the time, didn't know what happened. It was just Frankie passed away. They told me that Sunday morning, but in actuality, I think it was Saturday, sometime Saturday. But I guess they found out Sunday morning through one of the coach's wives. So, it was just it's hard to put that moment into words other than it was a gut punch. That's just what it was, because we've been around Frankie. I played with Frankie, been through the ups and downs of a season with Frankie and, the concussions and stuff like that. But you always thought, like, you never thought about, again, the mortality part. It's just, he was just always Frankie. Frankie was always one of the guys that, when we all get together, and some guys can come and some guys just can't just because of, where they're at in the country or whatnot. But he would always be the one guy that I wanted to see, like, no matter what. Like, I wanted to see Frankie. My daughter was in love with Frankie when she was little. I think every kid's daughter or son was in love with Frankie because he was bigger than life. He was Frank Wycheck, number 89. So... but he was one of those guys that I would just love seeing. Like, I like seeing all the guys, but it's just some guys that you just like, man, like, I just want to give him a big hug, And every time I would see Frankie, he would give me a big hug. And the last time I actually saw him, we were on the practice field. I think he was still doing the play-by-play at the time. I think so. And got a chance to run into him because I hadn't seen Frankie in a bit, and because I was playing somewhere else, finally get back here, and then life goes on or whatnot. And I finally end up seeing Frankie. One of the times I ended up seeing Frankie. And it was, again, it was just a big hug. We sat there and stood there and we talked or whatnot. And it was just that big embrace. And, you know, it's one of those deals where when you make, like, a friendship with someone or you spend enough time with someone, y'all may not see each other for years, but the minute y'all see each other, y'all pick back right up where y'all left off. It's just like, it's like I saw you yesterday, you know, because that's how much the affection and the love is when you sort of greet one another. So, but it was a gut punch yesterday, and I'm sure it was a gut punch for the guys that I end up calling after I found out. I'm sure it was a gut punch to them, like hearing in their voice.
Difficult phone call for you to make.
Yeah,
sure.
It was. It's just because it's difficult to make, but then it's like, is it real? Is it true? So you don't want to sort of like put this out there if it ain't true. So I had to word it in a way like, did y'all hear about this? Like, because if y'all didn't, or if y'all did, let me know too. I'm getting my information from a reliable source, but I need to know if y'all heard this, you know? So, and from what I gather, their reaction, they didn't hear it either. And it was a shock to them as well.
Yeah, it's always a shock. And, you know, you said it, D-Mace. You have that toughness. And I think everybody who knew Frank knew he had some struggles in some recent years here. But you always have that hope that he's coming around. You know, he's going to be all right. And to hear that news was really, really tough. But, you know, you try to reflect in all these different ways what we're doing today. Hopefully it will be therapeutic for some. I hope people kind of hang in there with us and maybe tell their memories of him. But it was such a special time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like whenever I go to Philadelphia and it's the Flyers playing, it's the Broad Street Bullies. Like, there's such a special – there are teams that just have a special place forever.
Mm-hmm.
The 86 Mets, you know, my team. But your group, you know, we were such a new major league city in Nashville. And we didn't ever have, you know, that professional team to start with, that major league team. And then instantly, boom, here you guys come. You know, and it's the personalities – and you were part of that debate, just connected mm-hmm. with the fans, and it was just a bond that you'll always have. And it's almost not fair to all the other Titans teams because they're all compared back to that group.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank was such a connector, right? And we're going to talk to Plaz at 11:30, and he was one of the ones who was a catalyst, right? He kept mm-hmm. he sort of helped Frank connect with the fans. But when you think of Steve and Eddie mm-hmm. and Frank and yourself and Blaine Bishop, you know, that was, we should never take for granted what a special group that was, not just great players mm-hmm. and a great team, but how you sort of made this a major league sports city. You know, I think Frank deserves a lot of credit for that. I still, mm-hmm. I guarantee you the next home game, you'll see some old Wycheck 89 jerseys
yeah.
in the stands because they were everywhere. You know, back in the day. 9, 27, 89. They were everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was those, and it's just, it's funny because all three of them were offense. So they were right? just like the three offense, the three amigos. And you know, I don't think people realize that's why, you know, that 97 to really 99, 2000, those teams were special, not because of our run to the playoffs. It's what we went through.
Yes.
Before we even got there. Like, just imagine, okay, and I'm only speaking from a guy that was drafted in 97. Just think, you're in college, like myself, Joey Kent, who else did we have that year? Kenny Holmes, you know, guys that were in college and and you think, okay, when I go to the next level, everything's going to be like 10 times better.
Right.
Everything. So just imagine I'm just saying these three guys, but there were more guys that got drafted in 97.
And it was a struggle, right? It didn't seem like the glitz and glitter that it should have been because there's trailers and there's moving vans and there's all kinds of stuff.
It was like, man, we went from, I was living a life in college, as I know they were too, to like, this is the NFL? Like, really? This is what the NFL is about? Like, gosh, trailer homes and, you know, a shower that floods all the time.
Right.
And you only got about eight shower heads.
You're probably thinking, man, Michigan State.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, I need to go back.
And from the media market, too. Mm-hmm. It was, and the fan base, it wasn't love at first sight. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, why is it still the Oilers?
And then they were mad.
They're playing in Memphis.
Yes.
I'm not going to those games in Memphis. You know, so it took a while, right? That's why that special group of people, and Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese deserve a lot of credit
absolutely.
There, too.
Absolutely.
Because they were the ones that slowly, over time, were making the connection
exactly
with the fans.
And they went out of their way.
Yes.
To sort of, and the organization, you know, went out of their way. We did the caravans and we were going to other cities, and you know, basically the ambassadors for our team was Eddie, Steve, Frank, Craig Hendricks was one of them, Blaine Bishop. So they were like really they were trying to push the Tennessee Titans on everybody, and they were like, you know, you're going to be the spokespeople for this franchise. It's a new franchise. That's what I said. People don't understand what we like it. I'm not going to sit here and say it was just hard, but it was.
Yeah.
And we didn't know anybody in this state. They were coming in here from, you know, I think the closest person may have been Joey, because one, he was from Huntsville, then he went to UT. And
right.
We had another,
so the fans knew him.
Yeah, we had another.
Jason Lehman.
Jason Lehman was on the team. Yeah, so they knew those guys because they were UT guys.
Right.
But everybody else was coming from different areas. Like, we didn't. At least I didn't know anything about Nashville, and you're asking this organization to come here and endear themselves to a city that don't. Oh, by the way, we're playing in Memphis too, you know. So it was difficult for all of us,
right?
You know, but we all, I said to this day, we all sort of grew up in this sport together.
Yes,
we did. We had to, because all we had was us and our families. We didn't have, you know, friends here in Nashville. Eventually, we made them. But when we first got here, it was just us.
And then as that bridge was being built slowly, well, and there was a lot of those growing pains for 2 years where it was still the Oilers. Frank was a very good player. Mm-hmm. He formed the connection with George, and that's what we're going to get to in a little bit here when George joins us. But he was on board early with the radio show, and, you know, he clearly – Frank was – as much as anything else, a sports fan. Mm-hmm. You know, he loved being on the radio talking sports, whether it was about the Titans or anything else. But he was relatable. The fans started gravitating towards him. And then all of a sudden, 99 comes around, new stadium. It's the Titans now, not the Oilers. And boom, won every game in the stadium. And then it just exploded from there, right? The end of that season is the Music City Miracle.
Right.
And it goes from there. And so it was a phenomenon that Frank was right at the epicenter from. But his life changed, just like your life changed and everybody's life changed around there from there. And so it was unforgettable, no question.
And people will remember Frank from both of your backgrounds, from those Titans teams in the late 90s and from his time on the radio in the booth and in the morning shows with Kevin Ingram and the late Mark Howard. But from both of your backgrounds with Frank, what's one thing that you'll remember Frank Wycheck for?
Oh, man. He had the best hair. Sorry, Darren. Sorry, Darren. But Frankie was just, he had, but, and all joking aside, but he was just a good dude. Like, he was just, and I can't say that about every guy that I played with. Now, we have some really good dudes on that team. That's why I said that was so special from 97 and 99, 2000. That was so special because we had a bunch of good dudes on that team. And Frankie, you know, sort of head he was the head of the good dudes. Like, he was just, again, he was just one of those guys that, you know, didn't make a fuss, came in, did his work, had fun, enjoyed it. You know, when your daughter's one of her favorite players is a tight end, then that's saying a lot, you know. And Bailey had to be 3 or 4, somewhere around there. She was young. And it was Frankie. And I'm sure that's how a lot of people were, you know, growing up, because it was just something. He played hard. He plays physical. You know, he always showed up, you know. But just beside that, he was just a good person, you know. That you're going to miss, that we will miss as teammates. I'm sure, if not everybody, I'm sure majority of guys that he played with had, they found out what happened. And, you know, so I know their hearts are probably heavy. And, you know, guys like B-Hop and Eddie and you know, Blaine, they have, because they was there with him when he got in Houston, you know. And I think, what was it, 95 he got there in Houston, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I mean, he was a great story.
He was in Washington.
Back
then, Washington Redskins. Yeah. And then they got him off there. Did they cut him, or they got him off the practice squad?
$100 waiver claim.
Yeah.
So then they got him in.
Worth $100, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say
He went from being, you know, okay, here, you take him, to one of the greatest Titans ever. And still, I believe, because people look at the tight end position a lot different than they look at it now. Frankie was doing things that only a few tight ends were doing back then. And we can name Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp, you know, there may be a couple of other tight ends that had the ability to take over a game from the tight end spot. That's how good he was at catching the passes. And that's how good of a player he was. And he was our, you know, sort of our outlet, our, you know, he was that guy. If we needed a play,
yeah,
we looked to Frankie to make the play.
The ball control, when you guys were going, the great defense, mm-hmm. the great steady running game with Eddie George, solid offensive line, the greatness of McNair, obviously, and then the possession receivers, mm-hmm. like you, like Frank, you know, it wasn't a ton of high wire, great players, but it was that steady control the ball, methodical drives, and get it done. I'll remember Frank a little differently. I mean, just watching him as sort of just that down-to-earth, relatable guy. You know, here's this star player, Pro Bowl type of player. Mm-hmm. But I watched him week after week on that radio show, sign autographs just endlessly, right? Lines going. Derek, you end up getting your own radio show a couple years later, right? Mm-hmm. So that formula, he was really the first to come in there, and he would bring a teammate with him, and man, the fans would come out. It was awesome, but he kept that down to earth persona mm-hmm. that I think was really relatable and connected with the fan base. It brought it up in that first wave when we were just trying to figure out as a city, well, what do we got here? We got the NFL. Oh my gosh, it's the NFL. What do we do? Mm-hmm. You know, and it just brought it to another level. You just need those sports stars mm-hmm. that make it, like you said, kids that want to buy the jersey. Exactly. Give me an 89 jersey. Give me a number 9 jersey. Give me an Eddie George jersey. Derek Mason jersey. Bishop jerseys. Javon Curse. I mean, you had those guys. You need those guys. So it will forever be that. And Frank was a big, big part of that. And also just his love of sports. He was an original season ticket holder for the Predators. He used to sit right behind the goalie, first or second row. I wasn't the first row, but it was like second or third row. I always look over there, and he would be sitting there. Mm-hmm. And Mark Stepnoski was another guy originally. Then Stepnoski moved on to another team, but Frank kept the tickets. But he wanted to see everything. He wanted to go to Memorial Gym. So I took him to a Vanderbilt game one time. He and I went to number one. Tennessee came to town under Bruce Pearl. Shane Foster put on a show. It was a great game. It was packed. We were there was nowhere to go. We were in a suite. Jay Cutler was in there. I remember. It was crazy. But Frank just loved to be at the big sporting events too, which is why I think he ended up having a really good career as a talk show host, because he didn't just talk football. He could do that all day, obviously. But he wanted to learn. He wanted to talk about the other stuff too, just like a regular guy. I think he had that great blend of star athlete, but also just that relatable, that relatability that fans gravitated towards.
And I know we, I'd want to speak for you, Willie, but I think you probably feel the same way. To be able to have D-Mace's insight and expertise and experience of being there, being in the locker rooms, being in those gotta-have-it moments, it's invaluable to our program and to the station.
Oh, yeah.
And for Frank Wycheck to be the first of its kind in the city of Nashville and, of course, paving the way for people like D-Mace, it has kind of broken down the walls between professional sports and the fan, at least in this city.
Right. And D-Mace knows him on a whole other level than I ever will. But, you know, because there's nothing like that bond of teammates, like you were saying at the beginning, right? That in the inner, when it's just you guys and the respect for one another. But it was clear that he was a great teammate. And then my perspective is a little bit more on the periphery there to watch how everybody kind of absorbed that whole phenomenon and still do to this day. I think that those Titans teams will always be those special teams, like the 86 Mets, the Broad Street Bullies in Philly. You can go down and find other examples too, but unforgettable.
We'll chat with George Plaster here in just a few minutes. He also had a very close relationship with Frank Wycheck, so we'll get his account. He will remember about Frank Wycheck, some of his favorite memories with Frank. But today is also about you, because Willie and D-Mace lost a friend, a former teammate. You all lost someone that you loved as well. So today is about you, your favorite stories, your favorite memories of Frank Wycheck. We'll kick it off with Bicycle Boy. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Bicycle Boy?
Hey, good morning.
Morning,
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I used to call in Frank and Mark and Kevin, and Frank was always really kind and genuine with me. And Willie, you hit it on the head. It wasn't just football. And I used to call in, and it used to drive Mark nuts because I would call in during the Tour de France, and this was back during the Lance Armstrong era, and it used to drive Mark nuts. But Frank started calling me BB, and he would listen and genuinely appreciated my calling and would ask questions, and I have thought of him often since those days, and was really just sad to hear about that. So condolences to his family and to you guys as well.
Thank you for your call.
Bicycle Boy is a veteran, no question. I just saw him the other day at the Predators game. But yeah, he's those days. It, you know, sports talk has changed a lot, yeah. Right? It's faster moving. You've got people texting in, tweeting in. We didn't used to have that, right? It used to only be the hosts and the callers, right? So the callers, especially like Bicycle Boy and some of the regulars, that's that relatability we're talking about. And, you know, I don't remember Frank ever really talking. He was good at making fun of himself a little bit. You know, the guys, Kuharsky would wear him out. You know, Mark Howard.
Changed.
Kevin Ingram was the traffic cop trying to keep all that together. You know, but it was a great blend, right? A great way to, you know, start your day off. But, again, that down-to-earth kind of thing to go with this, you know, big sports star. You know, that's a blend that people really are drawn towards, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll get back into your thoughts, your stories, your favorite stories of Frank Wycheck as we honor and remember him today. Also, we keep in our thoughts and our minds all of those who are affected by the storms this past weekend. So in an effort to help those people that have been affected, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee and the United Way of Greater Nashville have activated emergency relief funds. So if you want more information on how you can donate, how you can help, visit CFMT.org. Again, that is CFMT.org. George Plaster will join us coming up next. Remembering Frank Wycheck right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
In what has been a magical season to this point. If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got
40,
it.
20, 10,
he's got
5,
it.
End zone, touchdown Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
Not just one of the greatest calls or plays in Titan history, one of the greatest calls and plays in the history of the NFL.
Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Of course, Frank Wycheck threw the lateral to Kevin Dyson for the Music City Miracle, and I know that that will forever haunt you, that ball was not thrown to you, D-Mace.
No, not really. No.
Win's a win.
A win's a win, and I look at it from the standpoint of that, and I told Kevin this, and I'm sure I told Frank this. That play was for them. It wasn't for me. That play was for them. That moment was for them. My plays and my moments came before and obviously after, but that play, that moment was made for those two guys.
I love that that's part of the story, though. It kind of makes the story. There's so many layers
to the
story.
Right. But it's even that's just one layer.
Yeah, because Lorenzo wasn't supposed to catch the ball.
Lorenzo wasn't supposed to catch the ball. Dyson wasn't supposed to be out there. It was supposed to be Anthony Dorsett. Anthony Dorsett gets hurt. So Kevin, they just throw Kevin out there. He has to, because Kevin didn't work on it much. He may have ran it in practice once, if that, because maybe we didn't, you know, maybe I didn't practice on a Friday, a Saturday, or Anthony didn't. So Kevin may have ran it only, like, seriously. He ran it maybe once, and once is stretching it. I need to ask Kevin to see if he ever ran it in practice, because I don't think he ever ran it in practice.
Which makes it even that more special. Yeah, right. Of all of the things that had to go right in order for that miraculous moment to happen.
And everybody's got their story of where they were when it happened, so this is a perfect time to bring George in, because we were doing shows at the Wild Horse Saloon every Sunday, and it was taking off like gangbusters. We were getting these huge crowds, and they would shuttle fans over to the stadium from there, or you could walk across the bridge. And so George anchored the coverage. So George, as we'll bring him in here, was in a very unique spot because he had to go start the show. And he's thinking as he's walking out of there, I'm going to go host this show, and everybody's going to be in a terrible mood. They've lost the game. Very late in the game, everybody's going to be depressed, and then this happens, right? So let's bring in George, and that's a great place to start this whole discussion. Plaz, are you with us?
Hey, Willie, how you doing?
We're hanging in there. We're talking through it, you know, as I'm sure you've been doing with your friends, and you and I had a conversation yesterday about all this, but it's so fitting. We're just talking about the Music City Miracle there, but, you know, Frank's persona, you were kind of bringing him along. He was a regular guest, the Monday night player show that you started while they were still the Oilers.
Yeah.
And now is taking off. And the Music City Miracle, you had to get over to the Wild Horse to start the show. And so tell us exactly where you were when the lateral happened.
I was trying to walk over there, and I heard this roar. It sounded like a freight train. And I thought, oh, my God, what has happened? And I go back far enough where I can see the scoreboard. And so I can see what's happened. And now they're going in the, you know, the whatever they call that thing, you know, right, where they decide
the tent,
what's going to go on. I remember thinking, you know, if they rule against the Titans, those officials will never get off that field alive. Anyway, a couple of days earlier, I'd said to Frank, hey, win or lose, come over there. He was a frequent guest at the Wild Horse. He loved what we were doing. You know, the place was packed all the time. It was an incredible promotion. But when I realized that he was in the middle of this miracle, I was like, there's no way he's coming over here. So the post game starts at 3, and I mean, it is standing room only all the way up to the third deck. There had to have been 3,500 people in there, and the fire marshal, you know, thank God, was nowhere to be found. And we go, it's about 4:30, and we go to a commercial break, and, you know, it was almost like the Johnny Carson set where we had that big curtain
right
behind us on the stage, and I hear Frank yell out, he goes, hey, Plaz, your daddy's here.
That's right.
And let me try to do it the way he would do it.
Hey,
your daddy's here. And I remember I went back there and I said, hold on. I said, let me bring you out where nobody knows what's coming. And when he came out there, I remember thinking, this is what a rock star gets, you know, when here's Mick Jagger and, you know, all these people go wild. I'd never heard anything like that. And, you know, when he came out there, I mean, he could have run for president. And then later that night, the Predators had a home game. And I want to say it was like late in the first period. He calls me. And he might have had a couple by then.
Good
and
bet.
He goes, "Hey, man, can you believe what I've done?"
Can you believe what happened? Yeah.
That sounds funny.
He goes, "I'm on CBS tomorrow." And I remember I said, "You've had a couple, haven't you?" "Yeah."
But that was the thing about him. He never lost sight of just he's a regular guy that all this stuff is happening to. Great player, but kind of kept those feet on the ground. When did you notice, Plaz, that Frank, you know, just sort of ended up gravitating towards being the right guy to do the radio shows and stuff? Because I don't know that he came in with, like, he had that distinct voice, right? That real laid back, "Hey, guys, what's up?" You know, it wasn't like, "Mr., I have this great radio voice and maybe should be doing media." No. But why do you think he gravitated towards it so much?
You know, Willie, I don't know. Something came up yet.
You there, George? Oh, we lost him.
We have to
get
him
back. We have to get him back for a second here. Disconnect.
Sound like it's going to be a good story. I was waiting to hear it, too.
Because,
now it's a cliffhanger.
Because the radio show started at a place called Second and Goal, downtown, in the early, and this was before Broadway. It was anything close to what it is now. So if you go to been to Broadway, or if you're one of those people who lives here, like, "I don't go to Broadway anymore, man. It's too crowded. It's too many people down there." That was not the case in 1998.
Well, you ain't want to go down there anyway.
Exactly. It wasn't like the hip place. Yes, like, it hadn't taken off. So the arena was so new, it had not really taken form yet, but they had this show. And, you know, we couldn't figure out. We can't. Look, this is the NFL. You got a really good player here. He's bringing a player guest. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Eddie George one week. It's Steve McNair. And not that many people came down there. We're like, what's the deal with this? This is the NFL. But the table was being set for big things later. But Plaz continued there. We're talking about the beginning when you kind of built the relationship with Frank and you guys came up with the idea of doing the radio show.
Yeah, so and I'm sorry, I don't really know what happened. I'm sitting in a chair in my den. So he came on as a guest on Anthony Dorsett's show. And the truth of it is, Anthony really didn't want to do a radio show, and I don't know who.
Well, it was his dad. Remember, Tony Dorsett helped set him up. He knew the people. What was the name of the place?
Hard Rock.
It wasn't Hard Rock, but what was the other one? That Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. It was downtown for a while.
That wasn't Hard Rock?
It wasn't Hard Rock. It was, oh, man. Why can't I think
of it? You know, you're right. It was something else. But anyway.
And it didn't last very long.
Frank came on as a guest, and he was terrific. And after that show, you know, about 10 minutes later, he and I are walking somewhere, and I said, "Would you consider doing this next year?" And I mean, he jumped at it. I think he was one of those guys in Houston, you know, they got no attention down there the last 2 years. They were kind of, you know, it was kind of like they were outcasts. And all of a sudden they came here and people gravitated to him. And I've always believed, number one, that it's the best locker room that has ever come down the pike in the NFL. I thought going in they'd all be a bunch of jerks. And instead, it was 30, 40 deep of some of the really good human beings. Derek, Frank Wycheck, McNair, Eddie George, Marcus Robertson, later Billy Volek, Drew Bennett, Peter Sermon, all kinds of Joe Bowden.
Brad Hopkins, obviously. I mean,
yes. I'm leaving names
Chris
out.
Chris Sanders. I mean, but there's one ever. Lorenzo Neal, like an unbelievable personality. Yeah.
And Frank was sort of a ringleader as we got going. He'd get them to come over to the show down at the Wild Horse. And so because of that, Willie and I ended up meeting, Derek, a lot more of you guys than we probably would have really ever gotten to know. And when we started doing the show out at Jonathan's in Cool Springs, that made a lot more sense. A lot of Titan fans out there. And Frank had a PR side of him that was willing at that time to kiss babies, shake hands, take pictures. The truth of it is, I got to deal with the good Frank before all the problems started. And, you know, it just, it worked really well.
Well,
it was the Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood, yes. That was it.
Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood, yeah. That was crazy. What a crazy spot. Plaz, I want to bring in another perspective you know well. I want to bring in Jacob Underwood to this because he grew up watching these teams. And so we're going to see if we can conference call you guys in here. Grew up watching, and then, as you know, Plaz joined us as first an intern and then in promotions and then became our show producer, and now he works with me with the Predators Bally team as a statistician, the graphics. He's the guy behind the scenes. But, Jacob, are you there?
I am here, Willie.
Okay. Well, say hello to Plaz.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, Jacob, I really appreciated your text last night. I knew you were busy. I wasn't going to bother you, but thank you.
But, Plaz, I think go ahead, Jacob, because, Plaz, I thought Jacob had some, I think he shared some of this with you, but he and I had some great back and forth yesterday, just perspective on just looking back at those times. Jacob, go ahead.
Made an interesting point that we kind of glossed over when you're telling the story about the Music City Miracle. You're walking back across the bridge, and for those that may have just tuned in, how did you find out what happened?
Basically, I heard this roar, and kind of went back toward the stadium and saw the scoreboard, which wasn't as good as the one they've got now. But I could tell enough to know, okay, something really big's happened. And then people started filling me in on what was going on. Now, you probably remember some stuff I don't, so share it.
Well, what I'm getting at is in the year 2023, what would you do? You would pull your phone out. Mm-hmm. You would watch the game as you walk across the bridge.
Right.
Today, we couldn't do that. Back in the day, you couldn't pull your phone out of your pocket and listen to the radio broadcast.
I didn't even have a cell phone at that time.
Right? It's interesting to think about. I was born in 1986, so I'm actually only 12 at the time when all of that's happening, but you have to remember this era was unfolding without social media. We had TV stations, a couple of newspapers, and maybe one or two sports talk radio stations in town. And so it was so different that it's honestly hard to put into the proper context for those that were not around. Really what the show that you're talking about, George, what that meant to the fabric of the city.
Yeah, you're right. He drew people. He was an absolute attendance getter. If you said the Frank Wycheck show, man, they would come out there because they certainly were not coming out, Willie, to see you and me.
No, that's for sure. They were like, when are the players
even
getting
when Willie had hair, they still wasn't coming out.
That's for sure. That's for sure. But that is a good point about the social media. It was just a different time for sure that they weren't even really texting. There wasn't texting, right? It was just all, I got to get to a TV, got to get to a radio. And so that's how it worked. But definitely special times. And then, you know, Frank evolved as he transitioned he retired from playing and he went right into doing the sports talk thing. And by that time, he was just a natural. The groundwork was laid for a really good radio career.
Yeah. Derek, let me ask you this. When did the Titans sign Jackie Harris?
Oh, man. Jackie.
I think that was for 99, right?
Yeah,
that
was heading into the 99, that offseason. Right before the 90s. So it was 98, 99. Yep. No, 99, 2000.
In fact, that's the trivia question. Yeah. Jackie Harris had the most catches of mm-hmm. the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I think
you. Oh, go ahead, Derek.
No, no, no. I was just saying, I think they end up signing Jackie because of some of the injuries that Frankie was having.
Yeah. And you guys love to run the two
exactly.
tight end, go
love
big.
Love running
you know.
Two tight end formation. So those two guys work well together.
So by that point, I'd gotten to know Frank well enough that I knew that he was a little paranoid about it. Because you got to understand, this was a guy that the Redskins had cut. The Oilers picked him up, and then he sort of struck gold. But I'm not sure he ever, at that point, fully believed it. So he was a little paranoid about Jackie Harris. And one night, he and I and Michael Rohn,
oh, Rohner.
And Willie, what did he call him?
Rohner.
So
Jaylee.
The three of us
he had all the nicknames for everybody.
Yeah, so the three of us go to a Nashville
Stepper.
Cats game. Stepper. Looking good.
Definitely.
So we go after the game to the NASCAR Cafe, and all of a sudden, about 10 minutes after we get there, these five college kids see Frank, and they just are gaga. Oh, it's Frank Wycheck, blah, blah, blah. And who's this loser over here? You know, it's me. And so finally, I kind of butt in, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing a Titan player show. And even though Frank and I had already made the deal, but I could see his eyes getting kind of big, I said, who should I get to be the player? And one of them, because I want one of them to say Jackie Harris and see what happens. And so one of them says Al Del Greco. And I said, you know, Al's a great guy and he's a good friend, but he's a kicker. And so then I said, what would you think about the new guy that they just signed, Jackie Harris? And one of those kids bit. Yeah, Jackie Harris, that'd be great.
Yeah, he used to play for the Packers.
And Frank went berserk. Now, I'm going to try and clean this up, but Frank goes, the only person that's doing a show is me. And he keeps pointing at himself, and he goes, we're going to have Roan's Rumors, and we're going to have, and he keeps going with all these goofy
oh,
segment.
Yeah. We're going to expand and the show to 2 hours. It's going to be the best thing.
And Rohner turns to me and he goes, if Frank thinks I'm coming out there every week for nothing, he's got another thing coming. Well, Willie reminded me yesterday that the first Frank Wycheck show we ever did, when he was a player, Rohner, who I think was probably his closest friend in all of that, Rohner was his first guest. And Willie Rohner said on the air to Frank, if you think I'm coming out here for a ham sandwich, you got another thing coming.
He announced he was not going to do this every week for nothing. So
right.
That was good. It's just all down to earth. So much fun back in the day.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob, you get the last word because, unfortunately, Plaz, we do have to pay the bills here at some point.
Yes, I know how that works.
Yes, you do.
Well, I feel undeserving of the last word. I guess, if you look at Frank's statistics, for somebody who's maybe new to town that didn't follow the time that we're talking about, it's only 5,000 career receiving yards at the Titans. And so you think, why was Frank such a big deal to this market? You know, what's the connection point? But really, it's everything that George has been talking about, that Frank was the original rock star. Frank was the focal point for me. He was the first jersey I ever had when I was 13 years old. He was the sort of the rock star for the team personality wise. He was the one that everybody looked up to when you were the middle school, high school kid. And he's the one who's kind of withstood the test of time for those of us early Titan fans as the franchise has taken footing here.
Yeah, well said.
And George, before we let you go, we did have a texter text in. Wanted your expertise, if you remember this, about Frank Wycheck and the girls' softball challenge.
You know, it happened after after I was no longer there, but he shot off his mouth, and
I forgot about this.
He did this on a number of things. Frank, even though I think he wasn't totally certain that he was an all-pro tight end, had decided that he could do anything in athletics. And so he shot off his mouth.
Don't we all? Don't we all, Plas?
Yeah. Yeah. And so they made a big to-do out of it, and they brought a softball pitcher out there who absolutely stuck it up his butt and just made him look stupid. But he was really a good sport about it, and I think people got a kick out of it.
Yeah. I forget who the pitcher was, but she was good. Uh-huh. She was really good.
Mm.
Yeah, she might as well have been Bob Gibson.
Well, George, Jacob, appreciate your time. Appreciate all your stories about Frank Wycheck. I know that we're all with a heavy heart today, but it's fun to remember all the good times. So, George, Jacob, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you. There were some great times, and that's what I know. Jacob, Willie, Mace, all of us that knew him, we're trying to remember the good times, because there were some really funny, good moments with him.
Yeah, absolutely. George, Jacob, thank you for stopping by. We'll continue the conversation coming up next and get into your memories, some of your favorite stories about Frank Wycheck. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.